Hey guys, it's me, Duncan. Welcome back to the DTFH. Unfortunately, I was not able to do this week's episode. Instead, this is an episode of The Leather Rose. But before we dive into this, I wanted to help my friend Johnny Pemberton out. He reached out and said, can you just plug some dates for me? He's definitely not on this podcast. You can find all of Johnny Pemberton, the brilliant comedian's dates at johnnypemberton.dog. And the 13th of September, he's going to be at the Minneapolis Parkway Theater. Definitely go see him. You don't want to miss a Pemberton show. He is hilarious. This episode has nothing to do with him at all. I will never have him on the show again. Seattle, I will be seeing you next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Emerald City Comedy Club. Buy tickets. They're going fast. That's September 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Seattle Emerald City Comedy Club. I'm excited to come back to Seattle. I'll see you guys there. After that, I'm going to be in Dallas September 18th and 19th. Thank you all so much for tuning in to the DTFH. I'm sorry I couldn't do an episode this week, but here is The Leather Rose.
You're listening or watching The Leather Rose. Unfortunately, Davis Grimley fell into a wasp and is not able to come in today. Severe allergic reaction, swollen ankles, whitened tips. So I'm here, Bev, and with us today is somebody we have been getting guest requests for now for months. And I gotta tell you, his book completely obliterated my fear of drowning, which has been with me ever since my uncle and three of my cousins drowned in a swimming pool that I was swimming in. Jekyll Brimtip is the author of Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real, and Swimming is Safer Than They Want You to Believe. Jekyll, welcome to the Leather Rose.
Thank you for having me. It's really great to be here. I'm sorry that Davis was injured. You know, that's tough. Those wasps can be brutal, absolutely brutal.
Well, it's because of human-induced climate change. These wasps have gotten enormous. The one he fell into was the size of a sheep. It was the almost identical.
A sheep, really, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of sheep-sized wasps about.
I love wool, so that's a big part of my life is I love wool.
Oh, it's nothing better than the smell of wet wool. And I love a nice wet. This is the thing. If you're somebody who suffers from incontinence, as I do, and I'm not one of those
urinary or fecal or both?
Urinary.
You have urinary. Yeah,
urinary.
That's the better one to have.
My stools stay in.
That's good. Do you have constipation at all or just normal?
No, diarrhea, but I hold it.
Okay.
But my
so the
urine.
Diarrhea is separate. You have the diarrhea. You can go when you want to go, but it does come out as diarrhea.
I have controllable diarrhea. But
okay, I've heard about that. That's not so bad.
Yeah, but I just wet the bed. There's no other way to put it. And you know, so many people are ashamed of that. If you're incontinent or if you're somebody who's been hiding that you're an adult bedwetter, I'd love for you to go to adultbedwetteroutofthecloset.edu. It's a place where we're trying to get rid of that stigma. For hundreds of thousands of years, humans urinated where they slept. And only recently, post-industrial revolution, and thanks to human-induced climate change, have humans decided that it makes sense for them to get up and make lemonade into the toilet instead of the bed, where we have been wetting beds for thousands of years. And we wet wool. We wet our beds in wool. Humans have always loved the smell of urine-soaked wool.
That's what maple syrup smells like to most people. Maple syrup is a urine smell.
It's the pee of a tree.
Yeah, that's creepy. So why would you not like that? I'm actually in a saturation chamber right now. I'm 160 feet underground.
How long? How far?
Underwater. 160 feet underwater. I'm in doing a saturation dive.
Wouldn't you consider being underwater? And I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves. This is a question for later in the show. Isn't being underwater the same as being underground? And if it isn't, why not?
This is actually a big part of my book, which you mentioned. My book that's just coming out soon, Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real and Swimming is Safer Than What They Want You to Believe. So in that book, which I just call Zone Quedum Worship, which is just an acronym for Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real and Swimming is Safer Than What You to Believe. So in that book, which I prefer to call a tome because it is written in classical mythology, where it's broken up into chunk chapters. Big old chunk chapters where it's got a couple of blank pages between each section. So you really feel like, you know, you have to think. So after you finish that section, you take a turn.
Right.
There's a picture of a dwarf on there.
Yep.
And the dwarf says to remind you that this is a tome.
Now, that's curious. You know, shows what I know. When I saw that, I thought I was looking at a gnome, not a dwarf. And what are the differentiating factors when it comes to gnomes or dwarfs?
This is a big question I get asked a lot at conventions. Because a lot of people have been educated by David the Gnome, and he's a great character created by actually an uncle of mine, because I am Swedish, and Norway and Sweden share a similar past.
Beautiful.
So David the Gnome is a gnome. Gnomes are very small. A baby gnome is the size of a grain of rice.
Wow.
When it comes out of the gnome vagina. When it comes out of the gnome.
A grain of rice.
A grain of rice is the size of a baby gnome.
And from that, you can sort of get a sense of the size of that's interesting. Is the gnome's vagina the size of a grain of rice?
Well, I think it depends on the gnome exactly. I think there's not standard. I think some are, but you know, per size versus relationship size. Yeah. Like if you were to have the gnome a size of a penis that a gnome have, you'd have a penis that would be. You wouldn't be able to walk around without having problems. It would be like having like...
I see. Proportionately, their penises are gigantic, but they are small.
They're very small. Gnome is like a very big gnome would be the size of a chipmunk standing upright.
Okay. Okay. That helps. And so then a dwarf, the mythological dwarf would be how many gnomes?
Well, dwarfs are real.
I know that.
They are real, and they are living underground. That's the problem, why you don't see them. So they're living underground, not underwater.
Okay, so there is a difference between underwater and underground, then.
Yeah, there is a difference, because underwater, you're in water.
I got you.
Underground, you're under the ground.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, write it down. Well, I do talk about that in my book, Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real and Swimming is Safer Than They Want You to Believe.
Yeah, I think that's chapter 5 of that great tome.
Well, it is a chapter, but, you know, it's broken up by 6 blank pages with a gnome on the middle page before it's blank.
Got it. Not a dwarf. Wait. The gnome, so there, some of them are dwarfs.
Are gnomes. There's also elms in there. There's pictures of elms.
Elms.
I can't say the V. I can't pronounce that because I'm in a saturation chamber.
Ah.
So when I say elms, it's how it sounds.
Elf.
Someone else would say.
So elves.
Say the word E-L-V-E-L-V-S.
Elves.
Elves. Right. So me saying, I'm saying it right now. I'm literally saying what you just said. I said, when I say elms, it comes out as elms.
Elf.
Okay.
We can get that in post. You can say elf.
I can say elf, but the plural of elf is elms.
Elms.
But I'm in a saturation chamber right now. I'm breathing nitrox.
Okay.
So I'm actually breathing heliox right now.
Heliox.
Heliox, it's a helium nitrogen oxygen blend. because I'm in saturation right now.
So how long? We got to dive. The fans are going to be furious if we don't talk about Zone of Questions exposing the underwater drowning myth, why Atlantis is real and swimming is safer than they want you to believe. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, why are you decompressing right now? What brought you into this chamber far beneath a body of water, maybe in a cave, maybe in the sea?
Well, I just feel more comfortable down here, to be perfectly honest. I feel closer to the Atlanteans. Mm. I feel like I can interface with dolphins better when I'm in saturation.
Yeah.
There's a couple guys down here with me, Jed and Pimo.
Yeah.
They're helping me out. I pay them to be down here to keep me in saturation.
Just keep you company, or they...
Give me company, and they run the equipment to make sure we don't implode, and they do a little bit of welding down here, you know.
Huh. Well, that's got to be...
They love underwater welding. It's a great job if you can do it.
Well, it's a man's job, and it's there's no female underwater welders. Did you know that?
Well, there aren't in America.
That's right. There's no American female underwater welders. And I assumed that was true for the entire planet.
It's unfortunately, it's not. Because you get paid significantly more as a female underwater welder in the former Eastern Bloc countries. And so they've all moved over there to get the work.
I just heard that the women, when they go underwater to weld, it inverts their nipples.
This episode of the DTFH has been brought to you by BetterHelp. Look, I've been talking about BetterHelp for a long time, but the proof is in the pudding. Go to BetterHelp and check out their reviews. You can go to BetterHelp.com. People love this service. They have an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. More than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit betterhelp.com/Duncan. That's betterhelp.com/Duncan. Thank you, BetterHelp.
My nipples are currently flat right now.
So there is a nipple effect, man or woman. It really has nothing to do.
It's a nipple effect.
It reverses
you. Some people have big nipples. Some people got medium nipples. Yeah. Some people got gigantic clankers. Some people got some saucer pepperonos.
Some clown noses. Some people have little slithers. Some
people got worms. They got those little wormers.
Yeah, and little dainty tots. You know, little like tater tots.
Like a little ski slope.
Yep. So in Zone of Questions, exposing the underwater drowning myth, why Atlantis is real and swimming is safer than they want you to believe, you have shaken up the entire lifeguard industry. And I think that's important to note. When you told me that you were decompressing far beneath the sea, I assumed it was because you are being threatened by lifeguards right now. And the reason, of course, is because in your book, you show conclusively that drowning is not real. Can we talk about that?
Okay, so drowning is not real. I'm exposing the underwater myth. When you drown, there are people who have drowned for real. But what happens is when you drown, unless it's on a full lunar eclipse, what happens is the Atlanteans take your soul. And they extract a very, very large piece of your center, middle, lower brain. I think it's called the amygdala.
Yep.
They take it, and it's gone. And you have a secondary life underwater in Atlantean society, which actually has a deep, long, existing relationship with dwarves, because dwarves have dug down so deep, they made a Stargate sort of passway filter that goes into water. And so some dwarves, they're able to, long, long time ago, they were the same one species, and then some of the dwarves went underground, and some of them stayed underwater, and those are where the Lantans are. They're just water dwarves, basically.
Well, I have a copy of Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth.
I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, well, it is a tome, I'll tell you that.
Would you mind saying the full title, just so people can find it?
A Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real and Swimming is Safer Than They Want You to Be, by Jugal Brimtip. And, you know, and a lot of times when books have this thing on it, you know, the ribbon, you're like, give me a break. It's not that big a book. But with this one, I needed it. I got to tell you, and this thing, I ran out of ink in my pen. I underlined so much. I just want to read something that relates to what you're saying about the dwarven stargates. So,
Hold on a second. Okay, we're good.
Okay. What was that?
Well, Demi, who works down here as the chamber master, he had to equalize the pressure real quick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Every time you take a shit down here, you got to eject it. Otherwise, the whole thing will smell like poo. And it doesn't just smell like poo. It'll smell like it just becomes your inside of poo, because the poo deconstructs. Yeah. And basically, if you took one log that was the size of a Tootsie Roll, which that's, let's be honest, I haven't taken a Tootsie Roll size poop since I was probably an 11-pound infant. And even then, I was
11-pound infant. You are a big boy.
Well, I was born 8 pounds, but I grew to 11 by drinking milk.
Wow.
From the breasts of my mother.
And let's just do a quick shout-out to all the mothers out there. Thank you so much for breastfeeding
babies. Thank you for doing that.
And giving babies milk.
And if you couldn't breastfeed, you tried and it didn't work, and the kid wouldn't latch, it's okay.
Nobody's judging you.
Nobody's judging. Nope. Life's hard.
Life is hard.
If you took even a Tootsie Roll size poo down here, it basically, imagine if you were able to just explode it. Like, so every particle becomes like a, it just dissipates and it becomes in the air, and you have brown air.
Brown air. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln famously said that you can know a man by his latch, you know, that the way that he latched as a tot. And I wonder if you could just maybe, using your hand, demonstrate your latch.
I was called a hooked horn, which is it's like this.
Oh yeah, you used your fingers to get in there to the nipple, and then how did the, like, because this, my latch was, my latch, they called it a wet catfish. It just, I just, you know, classic latch. I did not do the hook latch, and that's fascinating, because Edgar Allan Poe, hook latch.
Oh, he was, okay, that makes sense.
E. Cummings, hook latch. Several of the Rockefellers, hook latch. The Rothschilds, hook latch.
Hook latch.
JFK.
Hook
latch.
Okay. But Marilyn Monroe was a catfish latch. I heard about that.
Yep, she was. Yeah, she was. And I believe she's the only model that ever, the only hook latch tot that became a model.
And usually, that's why that killed her.
Right?
She was killed.
Oh, she was. You think that Marilyn Monroe was murdered?
Oh, yeah, because I've talked to her down here. She told me the story.
Because she drowned.
She drowned.
You have met Marilyn Monroe in the Zone of Questions.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't put that in this book. And that amazes me.
You can't quote somebody down there because they can't. My publisher refused to verify it. So if I wanted to have it listed as a nonfiction text, I couldn't quote Natalie Wood. I couldn't quote
Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood, Pope John Paul.
Pope John Paul. All of them drowned? I did not know that Pope John Paul was a drowning, quote, victim.
Yeah, he was drowned. He drowned in holy water, and it was a very small amount of it, but the cardinals, they murdered him because he was found out too much, and he refused to let the smoke blow.
He did not want that chimney smoke to blow.
He didn't want the smoke to blow, so they murdered him in water, shallow paddle of water.
Dwarven, for just to, so we can finish up our thought from Zone of Questions. There it goes again.
I'm sorry, he had diarrhea.
So every time that is the sound of professional divers ejecting their night soil into the sea.
Night soil, right? Yeah, fecundity.
Yeah.
Fecus.
Wow.
Corallodes.
Is it like an airplane toilet, or do they just put their ass against a tube?
It's much more complicated. It's the kind of thing where we're all taking Imodium constantly down here.
Right.
I've taken 100 pieces of Imodium today.
Right.
Because to shit is just a nightmare down here. It is the worst.
Well, thank you for your service.
So if they say pissing is easy, but shit's the dog.
They do say that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read, please.
Okay. So, again, for those of you just tuning in, this is a passage from Zone of Questions exposing the underwater drowning myth, why Atlantis is real and swimming is safer than you want to believe. And this is pertaining, of course, to the dwarven stargates. When we hear the word dwarf, the first thing we don't think is someone who creates stargates deep underground. Certainly, I never thought that about dwarfs, but I was more wrong than anyone could ever believe. As it turns out, dwarven technology has gone far beyond what you have read about in Lord of the Rings. Dwarven technology is much more than the forge. It's much more than building suits of armor or swords or any of the things that you've seen in many fantasy tales. Dwarven technology is on par with that of the Pleiadians. It is very advanced, very mysterious, and most importantly, very beautiful. When Bingo showed me his Stargate, I was stunned. Not only was the Stargate impressive in size, but beautiful and aromatic. It smelled like patchouli and the socks of a long-distance runner who'd been eating clean. I knew that I was home the moment he pointed in the direction of that Stargate. I took a deep breath and stepped through into the Zone of Mystery. Wow.
That's definitely my favorite passage. That is obviously a pretty deep and heavy passage that portends quite a bit more to come. It does take me another 1,000 pages to get back to that tale.
Yeah.
But I think I've always been told start strong and crazy and then dip into the minutia as you build back up to the thing that the people want to hear about.
Yeah, I no offense, and with all due respect, this book, again, it has mitigated a lot of fear I had around water. I can't swim, but guess what I'm doing after this?
Swimming?
I'm going for a swim.
That's great. Yeah, they love it when you can't swim, especially Bingo. So Bingo is the head dwarf down there.
Yeah.
Bingo, has nothing to do with the game Bingo. And honestly, you know how people say stuff now, like, I didn't have that on my Bingo card?
Yeah.
That actually came from him.
Wow. So
yeah, people don't know it, but it did come from him because he has a lot of cards, super organized. They don't have smartphones or anything. They just have cards, like little cards that.
Like playing cards or credit cards?
Like
hotel keys?
Like an e-reader Kindle meets playing cards that you can write on.
Wow, that's
it's
amazing.
Really cool technology. Yeah. It's like an iPad, but it's not an iPad.
Like a more flat iPad, kind of like a phone.
But imagine if it was paper. But it's not paper. It's hard like a stone, polished. You know what? It's kind of like imagine if a bowling ball was flat. And
so it's
small.
Like a phone. So they have. Tell me more about this dwarven technology.
It's not a phone, okay? You would be wrong to say it's like a phone because a phone. A phone is a thing that you pick up and you call somebody with.
What do they use them for?
They use them for taking notes, making calendars, sending messages.
Right. Right. Well, that is a very advanced technology. Another example of the incredible power these beings that live just below the surface of our sacred.
Not just below. What are you thinking of, like fish?
I was in that moment thinking of.
I mean, I like fish.
But so you're saying the dwarves, they're subterranean, unless I misread this.
The Lantean dwarves are subwaterian, whatever.
Subwaterian.
They're like below. What's the Greek word for water?
Quesos.
Quesos. They're queso.
Quesos.
What's the word for sub? They're subquesarias is what they're typically called. Subquesadilla is what the technical name is. Right. That's what the Latin Greek word is, subquesadilla.
Okay, so there's subquesadilla below water. Okay.
Subquesaria. And that's what the dwarves, that's where they live. They live down there.
And they swim?
They can. Have you ever seen, I hate to say this, but have you seen Avatar?
Have I seen Avatar?
Have you seen it?
I was one of the first people to get the syndrome where the movie was so overwhelming to me that I got severely depressed for 3 years.
Do you know why you did that? It's because it's real. Because it's basically James Cameron he had an experience from Bingo. He actually met Bingo.
James Cameron met Bingo the Dwarf.
He met Bingo the Dwarf when he was filming the Titanic.
James Cameron.
He met Bingo the Dwarf.
Now, my understanding is. And
it's submersible.
Did Bingo swim up to the submersible and saw James Cameron in there? Did Bingo know who he was? Was he familiar? Bingo know who he is?
Bingo know who James Cameron is. And that's how Bingo. That's what he. This is the first words that James Cameron heard. He saw on the screen, Bingo know who James Cameron is.
I'm just picturing that moment. Mm-hmm. James Cameron.
On the screen, because you know you can't have a window down there because it would crack. It's a camera that projects on the little screen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, magically, it came up there. It said, Bingo know who James Cameron is. And James Cameron was like, what is this? Is like a joke or something? He said his right-hand man, who's like this guy who helps him out, you know, it's like an assistant guy. But his name's Carl.
Yeah.
Carl Dender, who's also Swedish, like me. And Carl Dender, because the Swedes are all about adventure. So of course, he had.
And pranks. The Swedes are famous for their pranks. So that's probably why Mr. Cameron, the first thing he thought was like, this is a Swedish prank. There's no way.
Because Bingo is also the type of a Swedish candy that's both salty and sweet.
Right, right.
It's like you took a piece of steak and you baked it in cookies or something.
Mm. Sugared steak.
Mm-hmm. That's what licorice is. It's just steak.
Sugared steak. Sugared steak.
Sugar tree steak.
Sugar tree steak. Now, so there James Cameron is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What was that?
That was just a very quick poop.
So there James Cameron is.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining him in tears. You know, people are moved when they see the wreckage of the Titanic to this day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's this great ship. He's looking at that ship. He's probably thinking of, you know, the scenes that will unfold in Titanic. It's already in his heart. Mm-hmm. And I've read he's in tears. And then this part gets left out of the story.
Uh-huh.
A dwarf appears and on the screen of the submersible says these incredible words. Bingo know who James Cameron is. And then what?
Well, it took a few minutes for them to understand because Bingo took his body and covered the camera.
Mm.
It was like a starfish covering
yeah.
a cup of tea or something like that. He fully occluded the camera, and that's how he was able to use his dwarf technology, the special note cards that are able to be...
I see now. He held up the card.
Mm-hmm.
He held up the card to the camera, and on the card was...
Said, bingo, know who James Cameron is.
How do they write on the card? Like, how does the dwarf enter that into the card?
Well, it's a little tool similar to like a stylus that would be for a pad pad or a
think pad
right. or a,
so K-O there's like note. A di- there's I don't want to say digital but there's some kind of keyboard on the card that he types.
I don't know what a keyboard really is exactly, but
it's neither here nor there. We're missing.
Yeah.
So James Cameron, did he invite the dwarf onto the submersible or?
That's not possible because the pressure differential is he couldn't possibly do that. So he what he did is he said back, "Who is Bingo?" And then Bingo.
This episode of the DTFH has been supported by Ethos. You know what I was like before I got life insurance? I was probably like you. I would see the life insurance ads. Come on. I would roll my eyes. Who cares? I'd think. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to think about me dying. I mean, that's the bottom line. Denial of death. Read the book. A lot of us don't even want to think about the fact that the Grim Reaper lurks in the shadows. You never know when he's going to jump out and carry you down to Atlantis or wherever you go after you die. Then I realized, geez, I got a family. I can't leave them high and dry. And so I ended up getting life insurance at my age for my old ass. Diabetic ass, former I'm a cancer survivor. I guess you're always a cancer survivor. It wasn't easy. A million tests, a million investigations, and yet somehow I did it. And truly, I feel better. I mean, it sounds grim and awful, but yeah, I feel better. Like, you know, when it's raining and I'm driving, the car's skidding around a little bit. I'm just thinking, well, you know, at least if I kick the bucket, my family's not going to be broke and destitute. The difference between the insurance I got and Ethos is the Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage. Some policies are as low as $30 a month, and you'll get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Ethos has 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with over 5,500 reviews. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Duncan. That is ethos.com/Duncan. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating as of August 1st, 2026. Thanks, Ethos.
Bingo revealed himself. He pulled back from the camera and he did a show.
Bingo's
very strong and very thick, but very fluid. Sort of like a beluga whale. You know how beluga whales are very doughy and look kind of like a big piece of fat that's covered in powdery sugar, but they can swim like a barracuda. So that's what he looks sort of like, but imagine, you know, he's a humanoid.
So he did some kind of water show, like we're talking SeaWorld here, like flipping underwater.
Flipping, spinning, shooting, jetting, blasting, side squirts.
He did, what's a side squirt?
Side squirt is where an underwater dwarf such as Bingo can orientate their jet. It's like, you know those guys called snorks? That character, the cartoon Snork.
Yeah.
Snork was invented by can't remember the writer's name. I think he was from Sweden.
I know his last name was Hitler, no relation.
Yeah, no, that was actually his full, yeah. He always said no relation in his name because it's a family name. He didn't want to change it.
So. I know. So now it's IMDB. Yeah. It's just in parentheses. IMDB. IMDB. Can you hold on just one sec? I'm so sorry. Josh, we got another of these things.
Uh-oh.
Can we get these have been flooding the studio.
Yeah, I got it.
Thanks. Whistle cat?
What? Yeah, it's another whistle cat. They're wonderful and they're sweet.
Yeah.
Here you go. Just put that one right in the incinerator, all right?
Oh.
It's the only way. They reproduce. They replicate. It's more than rabbits. They duplicate, triplicate. You drop one in the incinerator, four come out from underneath. Did you burn them?
Yeah. Ours are seasonal, so we don't have that problem.
Just so that the animal rights people don't come at me.
Mm-hmm.
Another one.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Oh, isn't my gosh. Wild? It was they so just, fast. They identical, replicate, too.
They duplicate. I'll just hang on to this one. Wow. So, look, Bingo puts on a show for James Cameron. Mm-hmm. James Cameron is witnessing something that very few people who are what we would consider alive have seen.
Yeah.
So in this, how did Bingo know that James Cameron would be there on that day?
Oh, because he's been following the underwater chatter for they've been doing tons of experimentation for that dive. They hear everything. Anything that's even near water, they hear it.
Yep.
Those cables that go transatlantic cable.
Yep. Fiber optic.
They pick up all that stuff. They got to tap into it. And they just read it and download it all.
So the dwarfs are down there. This is, to me, I find it unnerving, though, in your book, Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real and Swimming is Safer Than They Want You to Believe. You portray these underwater creatures as being kind, generous, curious, interesting, fun. But there is something unnerving to me about your description of those underwater cables being covered with the trembling gelatinous bodies of these quesadilla dwarfs down there.
Yeah.
Just clinging, listening, like children listening to the railroad track for the approaching train, as you wrote. Mm-hmm. It is very unnerving. I don't think most people know those cables are covered with clinging dwarfs and other creatures, for that matter.
They are. They're covered in clingers, and they're able to decipher everything. Instantaneously decipher it, no problem at all.
How? These are cable noise. Will you do? You in the book, you sort of wrote out the way undersea cables sound, but I mean, it's written. Well, can you demonstrate the sound of an undersea cable?
Sure. I mean, it's similar to what it would sound like if John Lennon and Led Zeppelin were in the same band, but you played it backwards and fast.
Wow.
I'll do a little example up right now.
That's pretty much what it sounds like.
Wow. And what you just, that sound, can you translate that into English? What is that? Signals are being sent there?
Oh, well, that's essentially what the book says. What I just said, that's the book. You know how when you ever hear a fax machine go, you're like, well, look at that said.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard two AI talkers talk to each other?
Yeah, that coded language they use.
Like when two agents know they're talking, they all of a sudden speak in a special, it's almost like twin speak. You know how twin speak can go, and it means like, yes, I'll have a pizza, extra large, thin crust, cheese in the crust, green peppers, not red, pepperoni, also some Italian sausage crumbled. Please deliver it to the back house when you arrive. Mm. Phone up Jonathan Dorder and make sure you text him after you phone if he doesn't pick up, because he's working on his clay wheel and he's got music blasting. Like, I just said all that, but just...
So Bingo is down there,
yeah,
listening to an underwater cable, caught wind that James Cameron would be on the way in a submersible, and mm-hmm. made it his mission to go and contact arguably the greatest director that has ever lived in the history of the world, which is America.
Yeah, and that the thing is he... Bingo is the reason he's so great, because this was before he was great at that point, but yeah, he wasn't super great.
And this is what you're about to say, what you revealed in Zone of Questions, exposing the underwater drowning myth, why Atlantis is real and swimming is safer than they want you to believe, is that though James Cameron is a genius, his big break came when he met Bingo. Can you talk about that?
So when he met Bingo, he was struggling. He was addicted. He was eating hot wings for breakfast every day.
Good God.
And he was having he was in the throes of an addiction.
Mm.
Not just the hot wings. He was injecting nicotine, literally injecting into his veins.
Mm-hmm. And is it true that he was injecting the pouches, like, just directly into his veins?
Well, he would... I do some sort of thing where he would get the pouch wet and push the needle through the pouch.
I read he was doing dry pouches into the veins, that he would take dry pouches and he would jam them into his veins with forks.
Well, at this point, it's hard to know what is true and what is lore, but at some point, lore becomes truth if you tell it enough. So I would say, sure, that is true.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was just on the brink of ending everything and everyone around him in a real sort of a black hole of sorts. And then Bingo knew this, but Bingo can see the future, essentially. Oh. So he saw this. And James Cameron, and he pulled him out of the submersible and put him into a special dwarf suit.
He pulled James Cameron. Now, how? The pressure would have spaghettified Cameron.
It would, but he didn't pull all of him. He pulled, there's a little hole in the bottom of some people's foot.
Huh.
And if you're going through that hole, you can pull out just a little thread. It's called the swimmer's thread.
Swimmer's thread. This is akin to the babies have soft spots where the brain
is still,
it's like the soft spot of some people's feet doesn't fully seal.
Yeah, it's what Morgellons disease is.
People
don't know they have swimmer's thread, and they're like, "What is this?" It's it's just the dwarves of Quesadilla.
Yeah.
Dwarves trying to contact you to get closer to water so they can pull you in and make you a part of their community and give you a great job. Like maybe you'd be satisfied being a counselor, maybe doing something.
So it's an invitation. It's not
it's
a curse.
Invitation.
It's an invitation.
It's an absolute invitation.
And again, not to plug an earlier book, you can check out Jekyll Brimtip's incredible book, Morgellons Invitation, Not a Curse, Why Morgellons Disease is Actually a Manifestation of Being Summoned by Subterranean Dwarfs Who Want to Include You in Their Community in a Variety of Possible Jobs.
Because the community down there is just the best. I've been able to experience it. I mean, I'm experiencing it right now, technically, as a saturation diver. And that's what dolphins, that's a lot of people don't realize why dolphins are so smart. They're so smart because they're basically just Atlantean dogs. That makes sense.
Yeah, those are the dogs of Atlantis.
Yeah, the dogs of Atlantis.
Yeah, but I've always thought, and with all due respect, I've seen dolphins. They seem dumber than shit, and I hate them.
Well, that may be, it sounds like a you problem.
No, I wouldn't call it a me problem. I think dolphins, they are inappropriate sexually with many swimmers, you know, me included,
Corbin, listen, Corbin.
I can't even swim. I fell off a boat once, and within 5 seconds, a dolphin was humping my mouth. I was in the water for less than 5 seconds, and a dolphin's dick was in my mouth. And my parents say this is what kept me alive, that the dolphin was keeping me, you know, was somehow putting oxygen into me via his penis. But it was not oxygen.
That's why it's a hook shape. Think about it. The hook latch. A dolphin penis is a hook. Where do you hang your towel after it's wet?
A hook.
To dry.
A hook.
A hook, okay. Is it a coincidence that a dolphin penis and a towel rack and the way a baby latches successfully is a hook?
I've heard this. My therapist has told me this over and over again. I was the one with the dolphin's hooked penis in my mouth. I was the one whose throat filled with dolphin jizz, which I must say tastes like sardines. It was like somebody
I wonder why. I wonder why it tastes like sardines in the dolphin's penis. What do you think that is from?
Okay,
fine. Do you think it could be because they're underwater? They're underwater and they're having sardines all the time.
Look,
you know what I got? It just reminds me of a little old phrase called beggars can't be choosers. Would you say you were a beggar in the moment you were dying in the water?
I would say that I was begging for air.
And you did you get it there or did you get someone? Okay, let me ask you this. If you're dying in the desert and you need a drink of water, you haven't had a drink of water in a week and you're about to die, and you get to the place that has water and they're like, hey, all we got is Dasani water. Are you going to be like, oop, I guess I'm going to die?
No, I'm going to drink the Dasani water. But if I'm in the desert and I need water and some kind of desert dolphin jumps out of the sand and shoves his dick in my mouth and sprays.
Sleeps it with water that smells a little like sardines?
Okay, you've got a fair point. And I don't mean to seem ungrateful, I guess. From that perspective, the dolphin did save my life. But based on your research, had the dolphin not done that to me, then I would have gone into the zone. I would have. So in a way, it feels as though I was rejected from the zone of questions.
This is a good line of thought, actually. So what you're saying right there is something a lot of people have thought before, okay? They thought they were rejected, but you know, some people would say, and this kind of could go into Christianity and ideas too, you get what you get when you're ready to get it. And maybe at that age, you just weren't ready to be taken from your parents and brought into that society because they want people who can help, not people who can just be there. And so you needed to be there to learn to do radio. You need to go to community college.
I was in my 20s.
Study. You're still in community college back then, right? You were still studying to be I don't know what you were studying, maybe to do a line cook or maybe like accounting or something like that.
I was studying to be a line cook.
You were? Okay.
Yeah.
You were studying to be a line cook. So maybe the dolphins are the dogs of the
dogs of Atlantis.
Dogs of Atlantis. So they don't know that much. So think about what a dog does. A dog tries to help. Sometimes when a dog tries to help, it hurts.
It hurts. It hurts.
So maybe this was a dog making a mistake, and when that dog got home, they were like, why'd you do that?
I mean,
why'd you do that?
This is how my aunt passed away. This is how my aunt, she slipped in the kitchen, and somehow the dog got up on the counter and shoved a kettlebell onto her head.
A dog got on the counter and did what with a kettlebell?
Well,
this episode of the DTFH is brought to you by Blue Chew. I could read what they want me to read to you here has a lot to do with hard dicks, or I could just tell you my experience with the new Blue Chew Gold. Wow! It gets 5 trussle eggplants. I'm going to read what's in there because they probably want me to, what the stuff is. It's never really mattered to me that much. I'll tell you what it does. Not only does it do what Blue Chew has always done, which is it reverses your penis in time. Not in girth or size, but in rigidity. It gets you super hard. It got me super hard. And this new alchemical fuck tincture that they've whipped up also, and again, this is my own personal experience, it makes you insanely hard. And for me, like even more horny. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what it is. I'll read what they want me to say. I would not lead you astray. Out of the goodness of my heart, I test these things for you, my dear viewer or listener. I'm not going to lead you astray when it comes to these kinds of things. Blue Chew Gold is better sex in a tablet. They combine 4 ingredients into 1 powerful solution. 2 ingredients get you hard physically, and 2 support arousal and desire in the brain. I can attest to that. It works fast and lasts. Definitely lasts. Guys, have a complete experience in the bedroom with Blue Chew Gold. There's a reason Blue Chew is the number one brand for better sex. Experience it yourself at BlueChew.com. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Right now, when you buy 2 months of Blue Chew Gold, you get the third free with promo code Duncan. That's promo code Duncan. You will also receive an additional 10% off plus free overnight shipping on your first order. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the pod. And the bedroom. Thank you, Blue Chew.
You know,
I
collect kettlebells. I don't lift. I'm not a weightlifter. I just collect kettlebells. And, Which gets interesting when the kettlebell is too heavy for you to lift it. I have to hire men to come over when I get a new kettlebell that's outside of my...
Would you make a video of that for me next time that happens?
Happy to, yeah.
Okay, I would love to see
you mean
that.
Getting men to put kettlebells up on my display counter?
Yeah, I would love to just take a look at that.
Okay. Well, I have a display counter in my kitchen where it's my prized kettlebells and Randy Savage... autographed one of them.
Wow.
And you know, I wasn't there. My aunt was visiting, and I'd run out to 7-Eleven to get some Gatorade, and my dog just fell and right under the kettlebell, and my assumption is that he jumped up on the counter in the hopes that his bark would carry out further than on the ground, obstructed by the cabinets, etc.
And
I'm guessing, as a last resort, he thought that maybe if he shoved the kettlebell under her head, it would, wake her up.
And, so that's definitely what happened, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds like, there's definitely nothing else that could have happened, for sure.
No, there isn't. That's exactly what happened.
No, there's definitely nothing else that could happen. I'm sure they didn't investigate or anything. Why would anything else have happened?
Well, I wasn't there. You can see me on the surveillance footage from the 7-Eleven. And if I don't know what you're getting at, but...
I'm not getting anything. I'm just saying, of course, obviously.
Didn't know I was the only person in her will.
Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, because you're not supposed to know that.
Why would she tell me?
Why would she? You never tell, because if you tell, it causes an imbalance in the relationship. It's like somebody knowing that they're gonna not someone. If you know someone's gonna pay for the food before you start to have dinner,
yeah, then it's like ruins the dinner.
It ruins the dinner. You have to surprise, like, you know what? I got it.
Yeah, you get up and say you're gonna go take a shit, and then you hand the card to the maitre d'. Yeah.
And then when people go, when they say you got it, you act all real quiet, and people go, Oh, if I would have known, I would have got a Cadillac margarita.
That's
a joke I always say.
Say it again.
I would have got a Cadillac margarita. Instead of a regular margarita.
Do people laugh? I could see
at
a dinner, everyone just laughing. And, you know, you could still order the Cadillac margarita.
Yeah.
I mean, let's do a reenactment, okay? Let's imagine I did the thing and slipped the maitre d' the card. The bill comes and they're like, you reach for your card and, I already got it.
What? Wait a minute, you paid for the bill?
Yeah, I did when I went up to take a shit.
Well, I thought you were shitting because you kept farting, so I didn't think you'd do that.
Yeah.
Well, if I'd known you were going to pay for it, I would have got the Cadillac margarita.
You could still have it.
Oh, I can't, though, because I already drank. But you're paid, so we'd have to start a new check?
Okay, yeah.
You want to start a new check? You want me to start it?
You got me again. You're right.
Waiter, we're going to start it.
No need. No need.
Too soon.
We don't need to start a new check.
Cadillac margarita to go.
That's okay, waiter.
We do a COVID style to go drink. Remember in COVID, that was okay. Let's do that again.
You don't do to go drinks, huh?
They stopped doing them now. You know that?
You got me. That was a gotcha.
You they should still do to-go drinks. I don't understand it.
I don't know why they don't. I don't know why they don't.
There's a lot of things that were bad.
You can get a to-go steak. You can get a nice bowl of rice. You could even take your salad to go if you're a maniac. But if you say, hey, I would like the last few sips of the Chardonnay in like a Ziploc bag, they won't do it.
They won't do it. It's so dumb.
They won't do it.
Just put it in some tempo, and I'll be careful.
So, to get back to our story, Bingo. What's going on? Is everything okay?
They turned up the saturation. Tons of helium in here. Hold on a second.
Oh no, are you alright?
Davin, will you fix it? Because I'm doing a phone call podcast right now.
You don't have to keep going. We don't have to keep doing this. Are you okay? Are you okay? My God.
I'm okay. Okay.
Are you?
It's just like when you eat a bunch of horseradish. That's what it feels like.
That was terrifying to watch. It was terrifying to watch what just happened.
It's okay. It's just like, you know, you ever had time compress in a dream and you wake up and it's been 10 seconds, but it feels like you lived a year in hell?
Yeah. That happened to me. I lived a year as a beaver.
When was this?
A couple months ago.
But you lived, how long did it feel like it?
I fell asleep. It was theoretically 8 hours, but during that 8 hours, I experienced the life of a middle-aged beaver, building a dam, chewing on trees, arguments with my mate.
What'd you argue about with your mate?
Trees. Which tree to chew on? You know, we're always disagreeing on the tree that would be best for the dam and which sticks to chew on. And, you know, she was always telling me which sticks to chew on.
So you were a man, you were a male beaver?
Male beaver.
Okay.
Male beaver.
A lot of times people are a different sex in the dream, you know?
No, I was a male beaver, and I was married to a female beaver. Uh-huh. And she had different opinions on which sticks that were good and how to arrange the sticks.
Yeah.
And she would accuse me of not knowing anything about arranging sticks and that male beavers have no idea how to arrange sticks properly for a dam. And so I would spend all day chewing through a tree or through sticks all day. And then she would go, and knowing that I've been chewing on the tree, and say, that's not the right stick or tree for the dam. And it would lead to a lot of arguments. But we had a beautiful brood of baby beavers during that year. And Plixus, Gedson, Swish, they were all just so wonderful. And what woke me from the dream was a hawk. Carried me off.
Oh, inside the dream.
No.
In real life,
I was camping. And a hawk, it just got me in my sleeping bag and carried me up onto a rock face. And I had to get rescued.
That's incredible, because hawks, I didn't know, could carry such a...
One hawk.
One hawk and
50 hawks could carry your ass as far as they want. And this was one of those new climate, human-induced global warming has caused hawks to start swarming. And yeah, they just carried me up on a cliff face, didn't eat me. Obviously, I'm here, dropped me off on the cliff face and just left me there. I was up there for days, pissing my sleeping bag. I would have been completely screwed if not for a small avalanche that somehow safely carried me back down.
That's lucky. That's good. That's real lucky, actually. That sounds like something you would experience in an Atlantean situation, you know? So it reminds me something out of my book, Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, by Lynn. It's real and swimming is safer than they want you to believe. There's a little story I tell in there about one of Bingo's relatives, Charmball. And Charmball is a woman, technically a woman inside. There's three genders in there, and they're all basically the same gender. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
It's like the only they know the difference when technically they all look the same.
Of course.
So it's kind of like one gender, really. It's almost not even a gender. It's just that's just what they are.
Yeah.
Sort of like a plant, almost like a plant.
Sure.
Like certain types of plants that don't have. I don't have flowers, but I like ferns. They're like ferns mixed with dwarves.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
there's three types of fern dwarves, and there's three types, and this was Charmball is I just say a type B.
Okay.
They're more relaxed, and they let other people make plans and stuff. That's how they're distinguished. And Charmball encountered a whole cruise of people that their boat was sunk orca whales.
Dear God.
Yeah, orca whales.
I remember when that was happening. I remember when the whales was hitting the boats.
Yeah, the whales, they want to hit the boats because they just want them. They've been sent. So the dogs of Atlantis, dolphins, they convinced the orca whales to attack them.
Whales. You mean whales?
Whales. I just said wares. Orca wares.
I'm only clarifying because people might think you're talking about whale wolves.
No, I'm talking about orca wares.
Because in your book you write about the whale wolves.
Right, there's the werewolves.
And then the whale wolves.
No, that's... I just said that.
Whales that turn into wolves. Whale wolves.
There's blue ware. There's beluga ware. There's
underwear.
No, I'm saturation diving right now. So when I say the word whale,
where
is that like?
You mean where?
Where? Where's
in the water?
No, where? That's W-H-E-R-E. Where? Where are you? Where did you go?
Yeah.
Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe, okay? Also Swedish.
That's a song about syphilis.
Where did you go? Where did you come from?
Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe. That's my favorite part of the band. Goes, get up, dip.
I love this song.
Dip, Cotton Eye Joe.
Hey, that's on my syphilis playlist. Anytime I get syphilis, that's on the top of my playlist.
How do you combat it, syphilis?
I don't. I don't. I'm not going to go to some...
Every time you get it, though.
What?
Every time you get syphilis and you take antibiotics.
If you don't cure it, you only get it once.
Oh, so it's a one-time playlist.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's my syphilis playlist.
What happened, dip?
Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, so like I was saying, these wares... They wanted to get the boats to knock them down, to bring the people down. and Charmball was in charge of that mission, and Charmball is related to Bingo, and Charmball got in trouble.
This was happening where?
Bingo. This is happening underwater.
Okay.
This is happening basically. Basically, it's Atlantis, basically.
Okay.
Like a super cool city. It's awesome there. The food's great.
Does it look like the Sea Monkey box?
It does exactly look like that, but just bigger. Imagine the Sea Monkey box mixed with the Sea Monkey box mixed with everything you saw in Lord of the Rings. Okay?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Ring. Imagine all the Lord of the Ring movies mixed with the Sea Monkey's box mixed with like the beauty of the actress who plays Tallowiener, the elf prince.
Tallowiener?
Tallowiener, or whatever her name is, Galorber. You know the pretty ladies who, you know the pretty ladies, the pretty ladies who play Tallowiener and Galorber, whatever their elf names are. They're super pretty and they do makeup on them and they look good because they're in a movie.
Yeah.
You combine that with Lord of the Ringers and Sea Monkey Box. It's just fucking awesome. Sorry, I swear. Sorry.
It's okay.
Awesome down there. That's what I'm trying to do in this saturation dive right now is we're trying to make it like Lord of the Ringers down here.
Well,
yep.
This has been a journey and a destination juggle. And
thank you so much, Corbin.
And I, of course, I'll let you talk about this, but I've got some good news for the listeners. Juggle Brim Tip is inviting you to participate. And as far as I'm aware, the first Atlantean drowning cruise. Can you talk about that?
Okay, so we're going to depart from Alaska. I can't think it's Fairbanks or something. It's one of these cool cities in Alaska. We depart, and it's you know, summertime, starting summertime. It's nice up. And we depart, and we go down, all the way down to Tierra del Fuego.
Yeah.
And then we check out Antarctica, which we know is an ice wall.
Yeah.
So we're not allowed to get that close because of the authorities.
Right.
And then after that, we have a 7-course meal that's done by Wolfgang Puck's number one guy. He's this trained under Wolfgang Puck for, I was told, up to 3 years.
Wow.
And we have a 7-course meal. And then we roll dice, and whoever gets to blow the mega horn, which is like a seashell type deal, that calls up the orca wares.
Yeah.
And they destroy the boat, and we all go down and live in the beautiful zone. And I can't go because obviously they know me. So what happens is I go off in a little boat because I know that.
That's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
That must be hard.
It's hard for me. I have to let everybody else go, you know. But if I take tips, extra money.
Yeah.
Because I know that people are sad that I'm not going to be with them because we obviously have been on a boat for 21 days at this point. We all
That's
know each
bonding.
Other really well. It's bond. We're super bonded. We all read from my book every night at second dinner. We read pieces of it publicly.
Mm. Second dinner,
so
huh?
Yeah, and it's $20,000. What? See, every time I hear about food, I burp.
Don't blame you with that kind of chef.
Yeah, Wolfgang Puck.
Thank you all so much. Jekyll, thanks for tuning in, folks. You can go on Amazon or wherever you love to get your tomes or books. Check out Zone of Questions, Exposing the Underwater Drowning Myth, Why Atlantis is Real and Swimming is Safer.
Can you say it one more time, please?
Sure.
Say the title.
That's Zone of Questions.
Zone of Questions.
Exposing the underwater drowning myth, why Atlantis is real, and swimming is safer than they want you to believe, by Jekyll Brim Tip. Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
Thanks for having me, Corbin. And I send my love to Davis Brimley. I'm sure he will meet up when we go to the annual conference.
Sounds good.